This episode is sponsored by Arius. With nearly 100 locations and operating more than 75 local, national, and proprietary brands, Arius is bringing their signature dining experience to major North American airports such as Los Angeles, Detroit, Atlanta, Miami, Chicago, and now their newest locations in Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. For more information on how to bring their signature experience to your airport and to your travelers, visit ariususa.com. Before I begin, I will remind you that the industry's can't miss must attend event is a few months away. The Airport Experience Conference, formerly the ARN Conference, will be held at Caesars Palace in Las Vegas February 24th through the 27th. For the handful of you who have never been, don't miss an event attended by all the airport experience industry's decision makers, executives, forward thinkers, and change agents. They'll all be there, all in one spot, under one roof, learning, networking, and sharing. Oh, and there's the Experience Hall featuring new and established brands. You gotta check that out as well. And for the majority of you who attend annually, don't wait. Register now. In fact, everyone go to airportxnews.com/conference to get details on the agenda, to register, to look for sponsorship opportunities, and of course, to exhibit. Basically, don't miss the Airport Experience Conference. On to the pod. This is episode 5 of the Airport Experience News podcast. I didn't say it earlier, but I'll say it now. I'm Ramon Lowe, the publisher of Airport Experience News. Thank you to those who have embraced the podcast and have been passing along your very kind words and comments. We're pretty much settling into a schedule of doing a couple of these a week, posting on Tuesday and Thursday. But we have a bonus for you, a third pod this week. That's right, I'm breaking the string here to the theme that we've developed for November, where we're featuring the stories of small airport businesses. So for this episode, I chat with Cindy Martin. We actually recorded this the day after Halloween, and Cindy was kind enough to get up really early in the morning to record the pod. Anyway, Cindy has worked with Quiznos, Pinkberry, Delaware North, Dine Brands, etc. And on this pod, we continued a conversation that we actually started last March, and that conversation centered around making old new again. Here is my conversation with Cindy Martin. I'm here with Cindy Martin, and Cindy, welcome.
Hey, thank you. Good morning.
First of all, it was great seeing you at NACUS. Gosh, it was a month ago now.
And, I know. It's crazy how fast it goes, though. It feels like yesterday.
Yeah, so twice in a year, which is a treat. So it was great seeing you at NACUS last month. So the reason we're on now, when we spoke last March at the ARN conference, which is now the Airport Experience Conference, we spoke about IHOP and Applebee's and several concepts within the Dine Brands portfolio. And we actually focused more on IHOP because, well, my kids love breakfast there. And my son's a very picky eater and he happens to love going there. So thus we go there a lot. But the reason I chose IHOP in particular, or that's what got this conversation going, was we were talking about aged or maybe seasoned, maybe legacy brands and their place, if they still have a place in this airport food industry. Then we started speaking about, you know, how you make old new. So from all your varied experience, having worked for a brand, for an operator, et cetera, you know, on a more macro perspective, you know, what are some brands that are doing things to stay relevant? You know, what are some of the examples that are kind of doing it right? And I immediately thought of Chili's and Annie Ann's, but are there any that you can kind of come up with and why?
Yeah, right. I mean, it's so fascinating to watch this. Just, I think about even in fashion or, you know, other non-food related elements, everything has a chance to come back, right? So how does it come back and why does it come back, or how does it evolve to, you know, sort of be the new 2.0 version of them? And as much as, you know, I want to feel like the closet I have and clothes that are waiting to come back again is worth it, you know, sometimes it's just, you got to throw it out, right? So as I think about brands, it's funny when you were, you know, giving me a little preview of some questions, I think the first thing, and whether it's just, you know, because it's so recent and heavy in the news, but, you know, look at Dunkin' Donuts, been around forever, loyalists, right? You're either a Dunkin' fan or not, is sort of what it seems when it comes to the coffee conversation. And yet they just have done a great job recently of, you know, in the past couple of years, I've been seeing them add food to their programs or try some different things with the beverage lineup. And now they're going to be Duncan, right? So I think that's a really good example of playing with some things along the way, really watching maybe where the industry is going, and they've got to fight, right? You got to steal market share. I think, you know, it, again, there's reasons why it works or doesn't work, but the other one that came to mind as we were talking or thinking about these questions was certainly, what is McDonald's? I mean, you've been around McDonald's. We all grew up with McDonald's, right? And continue to use McDonald's in the right way. And they did, I think, a great job of recognizing that, you know, breakfast day part wasn't something that they were first thought of. The idea of where coffee had become, right? So this whole McCafe offering and the remodel launch, I mean, their real estate is so accessible. It's so easy to get through that. And while Starbucks has done a great job, I think McDonald's is a great example of not everybody wants to pay $5 or have this allure of a you know, kind of more elite experience just for a cup of coffee. So perfect fit, like I feel like McDonald's did to fill that role and, you know, just take advantage of what they already had and become more to people that might not have felt like they had a place like that before. Well, and I think like, that's a little bit, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to cut you off. I mean, I like your example of McDonald's and the, excuse me, the McCafe, example. I mean, that's not necessarily, it's weird because it's kind of creating an experience or a destination, but it's really just, it's still the McDonald's, opposed to just, you know, another, you know, expanding into a day part, which they already are into, but it seems like you're creating a McCafe, even though it's not necessarily branded as one. Is that kind of like one avenue that a lot of brands could pursue if they want to kind of remain relevant and not be complacent?
I think so, right? I mean, as we all know, no one's, you know, going to say, let's go to McCafe, next cafe or whatever, right? So it just, I think they did a good job of not just putting menu items on the menu and then running an ad campaign to let people know they have them, but they almost gave it like, you know, like a special home or special roof within their larger concept. And so whether that matters or not to people, I mean, I'm just sort of spinning off the top of my head here right now. But in the end of the day, I do think knowing, wait, McCafe and the branding around that gave them a sense of this isn't just a product, but now it's like an experience within that. So they've had breakfast products, right, forever. But now you throw that beverage component with it, and then it became a true experience all in one. You know, so hot chocolates or you know, we're in this world, right? The PSL, pumpkin spice lattes, I can get them there too, right? So I do think, again, brands have to make a choice. I think some of it sometimes is a little bit of luck, but I've got to believe that the idea of where is this opportunity, who is our customer, and, you know, enough research and insights in how they can pretty easily implement that in their, you know, tens of thousands of locations across the U.S. That's the home run, right?
Yeah, sure. Like, well, let's go back to IHOP for a second. You know, let's kind of use this as a case study of sorts, you know, and how it's remained relevant, because again, I'm very familiar with the brand. You know, many years ago, stepped away from the lengthy name International House of Pancakes. In fact, I kind of challenge anyone born after 2000 to know what IHOP stands for. IHOP. And then the second shift was moving away from that Swiss chalet kind of look in the exteriors, you know, where you kind of changed both interiors and exteriors to feel more contemporary. I guess the challenge is, if, again, we're using IHOP as the case study here, you know, how do you keep a 60-year-old brand relevant and fresh? Is it just menu? Is it just a design?
Yeah, no, I have to say so, right. I was, before with joining IHOP, I was in with an operator and focused on what is the airport industry looking for, because I want to win a bid, right? And the concept portfolio, the brand experience that those specific travelers were looking for, I was always living my world personally around the newest, the hottest, the sexiest, or the, you know, it type brands and experiences. and bringing those, you know, chef-driven foodie movement, you know, kind of experiences that are so hot in the city restaurant scene to the airport. But as I had the opportunity and really started to look at, okay, where is IHOP today? And Dine Brands, we have Applebee's also, right? So trying to think about these categories and these segments, for me, the biggest thing became in the airport industry, there was a huge gap with just comfort and approachable familiar. There's the same. McDonald's has been great in airports for years, right? Starbucks has come through, and these players that are known and comfortable and approachable are still there. But now you have this brand, IHOP, that we all grew up with, right? We all knew, or Applebee's in the sense of that bar scene was one of the first ones for me in my early years. And at the end of the day, these were brands that had never wanted or needed, to be quite frank, to go into the airport. Their business model was working very well. Their real estate has continued to grow traditionally. So why even take the brand into an airport that requires you to change it up a bit, right? Reduce menus and do all those things. So for me, again, when I look at what is IHOP doing to stay relevant, it allowed me in my career, because of trying to take things into special venues, it opened up the door to bring this now brand everyone knows, but has never been here. So old is new again when it comes to non-traditional growth. And really the reason is our leadership team has recognized we're 60 years this year, 60 freaking years old, right? And I'm getting up there, but I'm thinking, holy cow, there are travelers still out there. There are people that are in their daily lives going to places and have never been able to see or touch this brand that they love and generationally continue, you know, to come back to. So our leadership has recognized, right, we've got to play with today's time. And so to your point of very simple things like the blue roof and the, you know, chalet type look, we can still have a blue roof or some things that, you know, people will call iconic with the brand, but let's stay relevant to the look and feel of restaurants today and people's homes and how we live in our own lives is how they should feel in our restaurants, right? But more so, I am super impressed with what has happened to us in this last year, which, you know, started several years back, about we've got to be relevant when it comes to technology. Mm-hmm. We've got to be relevant when it comes to the inside our restaurant experience and how consumers, Wi-Fi and, you know, power and all these things that are today's world. So it's fun to kind of see, again, I'm just a few years with IHOP now, and to see what was this legacy brand that hadn't made a lot of shifts or changes. Really, in the last 5 years, you're seeing every one of our restaurants getting remodeled. So that look and feel is there. IHOP has always invested in being in, you know, the media side of the world, so that our LTOs and product offering is always in the consumer's face, so to speak. Yep. But we've even evolved, what is that offering about? What is it always pancakes with some super sweet yumminess on top? No. You know, you saw the burger evolution and the idea of this brand can be more, and let's make sure we are being what consumers are looking for today. Technology, online ordering, delivery, all day parts, those are things that this leadership team says, we got a dogfight. Let's go get after it. So it's been fun to see the results actually turn into some of that so far.
So I'm going to jump down because I had a list of questions. You brought up a good point that triggered something that's going to get me to another question down the road. But like, so IHOP, like we said, has existed for a long time. And it seems, at least from my opinion, is now really focusing on, you know, penetrating the airport environment. Whereas if you look at other brands that are out there, they have existed not as long, but their life cycle is kind of coinciding with the time that they're deciding to penetrate the airport segment. So do you think this has handicapped IHOP in any way because you've existed, let's say, for 55 years in the street, and now in the last 5 years you're going to get into airports versus someone who's kind of existed 10 years and seven of them has been pushing into the airports at all, or does that, is that irrelevant at all, even?
I would have to agree that, sure, right? We're when you say handicapped, I think the biggest thing about airports is are you proven, right? And so while IHOP is very well known and successful on the streets, and most, again, airport decision makers, be that the operator, be that airport administration, be that customers, where they want to spend their money when they're actually in the airport, there's always that question of, you know, are you what our customers are looking for? And so, you know, to have to take some examples and, you know, you're not proven until you're actually in, right? So the idea that I hope I'm not, you know, breathing my own exhaust, so to speak, or whatever, but the end of the day is I also, right, coming from the last 5 years and seeing how airports are, you know, I like to call it modernizing, you know, really cool restaurants, great designs. I like to be an adventurer when I go into new airports and try something I've never seen before. I don't know what that is. I don't know if they're even well known or not, but it looks cool. Let's figure it out. I think what I realized on my operator days side is so many customers aren't like me. They don't want to adventure in an airport. They're stressed. They're worried about being locked in a box, so to speak, for a couple hours in the air and not wanting to feel, you know, overstuffed or just, you know, I think they want trust and comfort and a bit of an approachability, be that in the brand they know, to be honest, the price point, you know, it's expensive. So IHOP, I really believe both IHOP and Applebee's have absolutely a place because of where I was seeing that airport industry move to now. A little bit away from the specialty and the high end and getting a little more of a mix. And there's not a lot of approachable, known, trusted brands that haven't been there yet. So for me, I kind of thought it was a powerful thing of now the old known trusted, which is needed in this segment. Now you got a new player that we can bring to you and customers should get excited by it. Especially again, we kind of do some cool things with the IHOP brand of, you know, alcohol in an airport thing is just a given, right? So what a perfect brand to put some alcohol with. Mimosas, Bloody Marys, beers and burgers and anything else that, you know, again, you typically would think about when you might be looking for that a little more, you know, fuller, longer airport experience. And if we have enough space and can do that, it's been fun to see how customers reacted in our Dallas location to it.
So my next question is, again, I guess centered still around the perception of these legacy brands. I see a lot or many fairly regularly opening on the street side, not so much translating into the airport side. Granted, I don't see a lot of RFPs. I mean, I see a handful that get made public and I go through the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of pages when I download them.
Yeah. So fun.
Yeah, very much fun. I'm not privy to the proposals that get that turned in response to the RFPs. I mean, I've seen a couple. Mm-hmm. I can't disclose which ones, but I don't see a lot of these brands being pitched. And maybe you've answered this already, but I guess maybe we can point to: is this a function of the airport not being interested? Maybe the brand itself is not interested, or maybe the operator isn't interested. But what do you think is the reason for that?
Yeah, I mean, I think having, you know, again, I started working with brands in airports probably close to 12, 15 years ago. And then as an operator and trying to win business, you know, I was going onto the street to beg these really cool, sexy brands, right? Come on, come in. This can be a really great thing. And I think you hit it right, right? That, like, there's a lot of players that may not want at that point in time, you know, a brand that may be pitched or a package of brands per se. But I think the airport segment has done a good job. I talked about it, I think, earlier, right? It's sort of this modernization and the way that things happen in the airport, the look, the feel, you know, food to the gates and stuff. So I think like restaurateurs are finding airports more appealing now than maybe they did a decade ago. And some of that is the fear of what happens in an airport. It's captive for sure, right? But it's small space, it's limited menu, and there could be these crazy burst volumes. So what happens to the guest experience in those instances? The fear of that, I think, certainly probably is an explanation for why some brands just said, no way, I never want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. I think, you know, operators, the decision to seek out a brand, or I feel like sometimes operators get bombarded with any and every brand that's in the other camp of, holy cow, this is my like cash cow, because I'm going to put my brand in this airport. Millions of people are going to see it and they're going to pay me a royalty to operate it. What a great deal. I don't need to go have ad dollars, right? This is for emerging brands and some of those that were just the allure of, oh my gosh, it was like, you know, moth to a light, so to speak. So operators get bombarded with these brands and wanting to know, hey, how can you get me there? This is why you should pick me, or any of those things. And at the end of the day, I do truly think, you know, the airport industry has evolved and will continue, I think, to still be attractive. And it's kind of why I wanted to be a part of this industry. It's like, there's so much fun and energy that can come from a travel experience. And we're not quite there yet, right? I mean, TSA and travel, you know, packing, all of the whole process is very stress ridden. And to have the food and beverage experience, retail too, you know, side of it, kind of continue to entice customers to spend their dollars, to spend more time in airports. You're seeing that whole entertainment feature stuff come into it. I think, you know, this idea of brands that said, I'll never be in airports and I don't want to risk that to my brand's experience, I don't need it. I think that's changing too. I think that it will become sought out and, you know, kind of a little more comfort with figuring out how is my brand true, but relevant or developed for an airport experience today.
You brought up a point, which is something that you and I covered when we did when you were kind enough to sit in on our educational webinars a month ago. And yeah, we'll just say being in an airport, whether you're a brand or an operator, it's an operational challenge. And I can see how that might deter people, because again, if you are a brand, this is your child. You don't want to bastardize in some way. And the way it's on the street, that's the way you want it to be in the airport, which is not always going to happen. So the moment you get away from that, they start to get, you know, the shakes and realize, oh no, this is not the experience I want. You know, do you see then, from your many conversations, having worked for an operator, just saying you need to kind of step out, you need to be open to change and be flexible, like letting see the allure, not just, oh, there's millions of people passing your restaurant and this is why you should be in, but like the opportunities to do that. And I guess some of the opportunities in some ways, Chili's did it with reducing the menu to create a Chili's to go. And I think the expectation immediately is, it's a Chili's, but it's like Chili's light. And from your point of view, kind of like almost recommend that to some of the brands in terms of like operationally, you can't have 50 items, but stick with your core 20 or so, or come up with an offshoot of the brand that might be a little different than what people would get on the street?
Yeah, I wholeheartedly, right? Wholeheartedly, I'm a fan of, I'll give an example. I go to Cheesecake Factory and I am overwhelmed. It is so hard for me to make a decision because I like all these choices and it's there, right? So I truly believe, especially in the airport when you're traveling and as I mentioned, right, all this other stuff is on your mind. Those heroes truly matter. Like it's okay to leave one of your favorite children on the street restaurant experience and just bring your most popular babies to the menu, and customers will be accepting and understanding of that. Or again, like IHOP, right? So we're always on TV with products. Customers understand airports can't do everything that we can do on the street side of world airport location, I say, right? So they don't expect to come in and, get our Hawaiian French toast or a special product because it's just sort of known, right? And so you can leave some of those things behind because the airport affords you, it allows you to still be your brand and still deliver your recipes and your, you know, flavor profiles. But you do have to change. And to be honest, again, when I first came on board with IHOP, I really needed to understand speed of service, right? Because you sit down, it's casual dining and you sit down. And so what had we done and what maybe did we need to continue to do to find innovation, maybe in the equipment in the kitchen, or to use, you know, this really talented culinary team to create some products that we could deliver in 90 seconds or less, or 3 to 5 minutes, right? That magic time frame that most consumers are looking for when they're in an airport. Get it and take it, right? So, you know, understanding that the brand and the leadership team was 100% behind these things, that we know it won't be everything. What was signature, you know, our pancakes are so, you know, important to us and the brand, and honestly to our customers, loyalists and newbies, so to speak, that, you know, we've worked on how those pancakes stay true and are still made fresh. You know, they aren't being held warm in a warming drawer and degrading as quickly as can happen. But these other products that we've been able to develop and hold warm, breakfast burritos and some bowls and things, right? They're a natural fit with that, with the brand in an airport experience. So those are some real examples that I would hope most, you know, customers understand the things that they really love. If it's a hero, maybe it's not going to actually be delivered in 5 minutes, but 6, 7, 8 minutes, and they might be comfortable with that. Or the brand has to be comfortable finding ways to bring some things that, you know, 90 seconds, they would have never considered doing that in their street restaurant.
So my last question for you is, you know, taking a step back again, you know, with the way brands are continuing to evolve, again, design, marketing, menu, et cetera, with the way you see them evolving, what are your thoughts on brands going forward, at least in this space? Do you see legacy brands still having, you know, a place in airports? I feel they do because, you know, earlier, you know, you want comfortable and approachable, et cetera.
Right. Yeah, I think they do. I mean, I'll tell you, so it kind of depends on how easy are you to bring to an airport, right? So for brands like ours, or for today's food movement with a lot of like scratch cooking or fresh, you know, locally sourced ingredients and those kinds of things, I think that where some of the power can be in going into airports is a bit of like concept evolution. So I've talked about, right, IHOP or, you know, when you go to a P.F. Chang's in an airport or some of these things, heck, Chick-fil-A, right? So you go expecting to get a different experience, but how different of an experience can we push that so that the brand can actually grow more? So I'll use a Chick-fil-A example, right? I mean, their Atlanta locations are freaking crazy. And they have like 6 items or whatever. I don't know the exact number, but it's a really small number of just their heroes, and people are waiting in line to grab that stuff, right? So they were willing to leave some of those other favorites that I know perform really well in their regular, you know, street location, right? I think on IHOP brands, because we're so known as casual dining, we're looking at and doing some research and investing now in what could a sort of smaller platform, like let's call it a micro concept that might just feature, this is not real, so don't hold me to this in any way, definitely, but not. Is it like the pancake bar or something? I've talked to brands, you know, friends, and you're spitballing ideas around. I was like, how great was the, you know, great craft beer with an Annie Ann's pretzel bar be, or something like that? So finding those ways that I think brands can, you know, recognize that in airport spaces are small, experiences are quick. We're a casual dine brand with a big old menu, but where's our equity and where does customer, you know, kind of loyalty and to be quite honest, acceptance? will they buy this as an IHOP experience? And is it, you know, something that they seek out then? Those are the ways that I hope people are really thinking about airports now and taking their, you know, loved brands, be them, you know, legacy or some of these, you know, new hot brands that are just exploding in growth on the street right now, and kind of thinking about that airport world too. Can you modify it still a bit? And is the timing right to do it? Because I do think there's a piece of that also.
Excellent. Well, that's all I have. And Cindy, thank you very much for getting, I know it's early when we're recording this. You're out in Colorado, so I appreciate you getting that.
No problem, right? The day after Halloween, my candy sugar high or whatever it is all good.
Excellent. Well, Cindy, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks so much.